You are being tracked right now, not by a government agent, not by a hacker, by a system so normalized you installed part of it yourself. Your phone sold your location this morning. Your car reported how hard you braked. A camera logged your license plate and stored it for 30 days. A company you have never heard of knows which medical clinic you visited last month. A data broker built a profile of you from 16 different sources and sold it for about $200. You did not consent to any of it. You were not notified. And every single thing I just described is completely legal. This video is about how that happened, what it looks like in 20 years if nothing changes, and why where you live is now one of the most important decisions you can make. Luke here, the digital nomad guy. I'm out here living out this simulation, fulfilling my role as the universe sees fit. Let me start with something most people drive past every day without knowing it exists. It's a white box on a pole, solar powered, about the size of a shoebox. It's called a Flock safety camera. According to Flock and published reporting, there are more than 100,000 of them across the United States, serving more than 5,000 law enforcement agencies. Every time your car passes one, it builds what Flock calls a vehicle fingerprint. Your license plate, your vehicle make and model, the color, any bumper stickers, roof racks, body damage, aftermarket modifications, direction of travel, exact time. Stored in Amazon's cloud servers for 30 days. Accessible to agencies across the country. No warrants required. Now here is where it gets dark. Daytona, Ohio, had a policy. A written official policy saying the cameras could not be used for immigration enforcement. An internal audit found that outside agencies had run approximately 7,100 searches citing immigration-related purposes. 3,700 from U.S. Border Patrol, 779 from a sheriff's office in Georgia. Agencies that were never authorized to access Dayton's cameras. Searching Dayton's cameras thousands of times. When officials found out, they could not exit the contract fast enough to shut it down. So they covered all 72 cameras with trash bags. City officials put trash bags over their own surveillance cameras because the contract would not let them stop the surveillance. Mountain View, California, same story. Flock enabled a nationwide search setting without the city's knowledge or authorization. Federal agencies accessed local plate data, the Air Force, the ATF, the General Services Administration. The city shut off all 30 cameras and unanimously terminated the contract. EFF reviewed millions of Flock search records and documented that more than 50 agencies ran searches connected to protests and political demonstrations in 2025. And when an engineer built a website that simply mapped the public locations of Flock cameras using crowdsourced data, Flock's CEO called it terroristic. He compared the volunteers to Antifa. The company sent a cease and desist letter. Now, the layer underneath the cameras, thousands of companies are collecting, enriching, and selling detailed profiles on every American adult. You've never signed anything with them. They have no direct relationship with you. Most of them you have never heard of. A Federal Trade Commission commissioner described one of them this way, and I quote, "You may not know anything about Gravy Analytics, but Gravy Analytics may know quite a bit about you," end quote. Here's what Gravy Analytics was doing, processing more than 17 billion signals from approximately 1 billion mobile devices every day. Geofencing sensitive locations, medical facilities, places of worship, political rallies, domestic violence shelters, military installations. Then selling audience segments based on who visited those locations. You could buy a list of everyone whose phone had been inside a specific abortion clinic, a specific mosque, a specific protest, without those people's knowledge, without a warrant, for a price. A A company called Mobile Walla went further. They built a detailed report analyzing people who attended protests after George Floyd's death in 2020. They inferred protesters' racial backgrounds, whether they lived in the cities where they were protesting. They also built audience segments from women who had visited pregnancy centers. A protest became an audience segment. A pregnancy center visit became a marketing category. Political activity and medical decisions became commercial data products. And it goes further than that. Testimony at Senate hearings documented data brokers selling lists labeled rape sufferers, seniors with dementia, people with HIV, the home addresses of active law enforcement officers, the location of confidential domestic violence shelters. Individual dossiers on private citizens have been sold for $50 to $500 and documented as tools used by stalkers, domestic abusers, and bounty hunters to find people. In February 2026, the FTC issued formal warnings to 13 data brokers about selling American data to entities connected to China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. Congress restricted certain sales to foreign adversaries. It did not restrict selling the same information inside the United States. Now, your bank. Most people know that cash transactions over $10,000 get reported to the federal government. What most people do not know is what happens when your bank's algorithm thinks that you're trying to avoid that threshold. Under federal law, intentionally structuring cash transactions to stay under $10,000 is a federal felony. Even if every dollar is completely legal, the algorithm detects the pattern. Your bank files a secret report with the IRS and the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. They are legally barred from telling you they filed it. The secret report can trigger a federal investigation. An account freeze, civil asset forfeiture, before anyone has established what your intentions actually were. The algorithm flagged the pattern. The bank reported you in secret. The investigation started. You found out when your account was frozen. This has happened to people whose money was completely clean. Now, the vehicle you drive. Modern connected cars transmit data to the manufacturer continuously. Your GPS location, your speed, how hard you brake, how fast you accelerate, whether you wear your seatbelt, how late at night you're driving. In January 2026, the Federal Trade Commission issued a final order against General Motors and its OnStar system. The FTC found that GM collected this data from millions of vehicles, sometimes recording location every 3 seconds, then sold it to insurance data brokers, who used it to influence what drivers pay for coverage. You bought a car, the car watched how you drove, the car sold what you saw to your insurance company. Your insurance company raised your rates. You were not told any of this was happening. Some of the people whose rates went up had never filed a single accident claim. The camera on your front door. In 2020, more than 2,000 government agencies were submitting footage requests to Ring's Neighbors portal. More than 22,000 separate incident requests. More than half approved by homeowners. A distributed law enforcement camera network built from devices that people bought with their own money, installed on their own homes, and pay for themselves. Ring is now integrated with Axon. Axon is a dominant body camera and evidence management system for American law enforcement. Through Axon's platform, police can request doorbell footage from homeowners in a specified area. If the homeowner shares it, the footage goes directly into the same evidence system used for body cameras, police reports, and criminal prosecutions. And Amazon's own terms say the company can share your Ring footage without telling you in situations it decides are emergencies. Your face. An industry forecast estimated America would reach roughly 85 million surveillance cameras by 2021. That was a projection, not a count. Whatever the current number is, a growing portion of those cameras are not just recording. They are running AI, facial geometry, gait analysis, behavioral detection, emotion recognition. The camera is not watching you, it is classifying you. The FTC confirmed that Rite Aid deployed facial recognition in hundreds of stores from 2012 through 2020. The system generated thousands of false positives. The company did not train employees properly. The errors disproportionately affected people of color. The FTC issued a 5-year prohibition. The National Institute of Standards and Technology evaluated 189 facial recognition algorithms from 99 developers. It found demographic performance differences in the majority of algorithms tested. False positive rates varied by a factor of 10 to more than 100 across demographic groups. The technology making decisions about your identity is least reliable for the people most likely to suffer the consequences of a wrong answer. That is what exists right now. I want to show you where it's going. But first, I need to tell you something that happened 6 weeks ago that most people missed. On June 29th, 2026, the Supreme Court issued a ruling in the United States versus Chatterjee. The court held that police need a warrant to obtain app-generated cell phone location data. But here is what it does not do. It does not erase the commercial market that is collecting this data right now. It does not stop Gravy Analytics from building your location profile. It governs when the government can go directly to a tech company to get it. The data still exists, the market still operates, and the government can still try to buy it commercially. Whether that route survives is still being litigated. Now, the part that should concern you most: in 2019, Harvard Business School professor Shoshana Zuboff published a book called The Age of Surveillance Capitalism. Her argument? The product is not your data. The product is a prediction of what you will do next, sold to institutions that want to influence your decision. Your future behavior is a commodity being bought and sold right now. Now, here's another chilling effect. This one is not a projection. It was actually measured. After the Snowden disclosures in 2013, researchers measured a statistically significant decline in visits to Wikipedia pages on topics monitored by the NSA. People found out they were being watched. They stopped looking things up. Not self-reported, measured in actual behavior. Surveillance does not need to arrest everyone to change what people do. It only needs enough people to wonder whether what they search, where they go, and who they meet will become part of a permanent record. Now, the structural problem. The danger researchers describe is not one giant database that already contains everything. It is separate systems that increasingly speak compatible languages. The license plate network, the phone location data, the connected vehicle telemetry, the financial records, the doorbell footage, the facial recognition matches, the data broker profiles. Different companies, different databases, but increasingly able to ask each other questions. Now, let me describe what researchers project for a major American city in 2045. I want to be specific about what this is. This is a scenario assembled from systems that exist today. Not a guaranteed future, not an academic consensus, a scenario, and here is the detail most people miss. This is not primarily a government project, it is a commercial one. The data belongs to companies that collected it. It can be subpoenaed, sold, hacked. When Gravy Analytics suffered a data breach, precise movement records for millions of people were exposed to hackers. The systems tracking you are themselves vulnerable. Unlike a password, your location history and behavioral patterns cannot be reset. The surveillance infrastructure being built right now is not a government program. It is a business model, and your comprehensive profile is the product being sold. Now, what this means for where you live: smart city surveillance infrastructure is built into urban development, funded by urban budgets, justified by urban density. The sensor networks, the camera grids, the connected transit systems, the facial recognition deployments, they exist where population density justifies the investment. Research on camera deployment across major cities found surveillance concentrated in commercial corridors and in neighborhoods with large non-white populations. The intensity of surveillance varies by geography. That is documented. Rural living does not make you invisible. Flock cameras are in small towns. License plate readers are on rural highways. Your phone still pings advertising networks wherever you are, but it changes which systems you depend on. Every surveillance system built around pattern of life analysis, building a behavioral profile from consistent daily movements requires stable, predictable location data. A fixed address, a regular commute, the same camera corridors every morning and every night. A person who moves, who does not maintain a single fixed address, who does not follow the same daily route, is harder to profile deeply. Not impossible, harder. And people are already doing the math. The global camper van market was valued at $23 billion in 2026, projected to reach $42 billion by 2035. The median age of RV owners dropped from 53 in 2021 to 49 in 2025. 22% of RV households use their vehicles as workspaces. Global off-grid solar capacity doubled to 11.1 gigawatts in 2024. This is not a retirement trend. It is a younger generation making a deliberate infrastructure choice. And then there's the community aspect. The research is consistent on one finding. The people most affected by surveillance are those who face it alone, isolated. When you know your neighbors, you can ask them. When you don't, you have to trust the screen. Surveillance works best on people who only have the screen. Physical community is the structural opposite of what surveillance optimizes for. I want to be straight about something. Living mobile or off-grid does not make you invisible. Your phone still tracks you. Your connected vehicle still transmits. Public Wi-Fi introduces vulnerabilities that a fixed address does not. Flock cameras are expanding into rural corridors. The surveillance tools described in this video do produce real investigative value. License plate readers find stolen cars. Cameras solve certain crimes. The argument is not that none of this works. The argument is whether recording everyone's movements, building behavioral profiles on every American, and assembling data that can be sold to foreign governments is a proportionate response to the genuine cases that justified the first camera installation. That is a question worth sitting with. The surveillance grid was not built all at once. It was built one camera at a time, one app permission, one data purchase, one contract nobody read, one convenience nobody questioned. And getting outside of it will not happen all at once either. It starts with understanding what it actually is, a decentralized surveillance economy. Cameras record the vehicle, phones record the movement, cars record the behavior, banks record the transactions, doorbells record the neighborhood, brokers connect the devices to the places, algorithms turn it into associations, predictions, and risk categories. Different institutions, different databases, increasingly able to ask each other questions. Getting outside it starts with choosing what you connect to, choosing where you live, choosing who controls the infrastructure around you, and choosing whether your community belongs to a platform or whether the platform belongs to the community. That is the premise behind Nomad Syndicate, a network of people building community outside the systems that profit from your isolation. Links are in the description. Remember, the system wasn't built for you, so I say build your own.